2023, we gave away $1 million. I have multiple kids within our league right now that are active students at their colleges that have earned over 100K in the last 2 years playing with us.
For playing games.
For playing games. A black man is the most followed person on Twitch. His value is significantly higher than most traditional artists
100%.
Because of how he's able to directly influence 300,000 people in a live format. We can go make our own custom Fortnite levels, and Fortnite will pay you for the amount of playtime that happens on your level. Bro, I got a friend out in LA, bro. They're generating $500,000 a month doing this.
It has to work where it has to work.
Welcome to Circle of Greatness. I'm your host, Nehemiah Davis, and today I got a special episode. We're about to learn about another advertising agency. We're about to learn about the e-games industry, and I got my guy, Ryan, man. He's about to come break down how he's building one of the dopest companies called Community, right? All things e-games, sports, HBCUs, they just got it going on. So I'm literally about to have him break down what they got going on. And yeah, we're about to get into it. Without further ado, my guy, Ryan, what's up, bro?
I appreciate you, bro. Yeah, I was like, we just seen each other a few hours ago getting it in at the gym, bro.
Yeah, facts. So, funny story, me and my guy, Ryan, we ball, like, y'all, we pretty much play ball 2-3 times a week together. And we ended up following each other on Instagram. And I'm like, what's, because a lot of people we ball with, they everybody's not doing business.
Right,
so,
not everyone, but a lot of cool people doing
a lot
cool
of
stuff.
Cool people.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy just being in that environment. It's like a melting pot, but I saw that you had all these things going on. So I was like, yo, I need you to come talk about just, I'm curious to know about e-games. You running a 20-person company and growing. So I just wanted to hear a little bit about what you got going on and tap in. Because I was talking with Ryan. I'm like, bro, I need some sponsors. I need this. Because he got it going on. So we're about to literally dig in and get an idea of what's everything going on with Community.
No, I appreciate you, one, for having me on and kind of giving an opportunity to share. Yeah. But Community Media, our mission since day one has been around basically amplifying black voices and black creators through gaming, entertainment, music. I'll say, to kind of give some background and make everything I'm going to share make a little bit more sense. A few years ago, there's a couple of key facts that are very important. Atlanta, back in 2018, 2019, specifically the state of Georgia, was one of the first states to have varsity high school esports.
Wow.
So what that actually means is, like, under the Georgia High School Sports Association, gaming is now a varsity sport, just like track and field, basketball, football, so on and so forth. Why that's
so gaming now is a sport in
nearly 30 states.
Wow.
Nearly 30 states, right? And it's going to continue to grow.
Wow.
Why that's important is that also at the same time, collegiate gaming is being built, right? So you're having a lot of collegiate leagues that are featuring major PWI universities, normal universities. What's interesting that we recognize is that gaming from a professional state is one of the only industries from a competitive standpoint that started at the professional level before there were grassroots K-12 collegiate programs. So now all that's being built in reverse. So one of the things that stood out is that when Georgia, specifically the city of Atlanta, launched their first gaming league for the high schools, we recognized that there were no black schools that were participating. But we were also doing research and we learned that 83% of black youth play video games on a weekly basis. But back in 2019, only 2% of the $300 billion gaming industry was African American.
Only 2%?
2%.
Like $23 billion?
200.
$200 billion.
Yes.
Wow.
The gaming industry globally is close to $200 billion.
Annually.
2% of that workforce is African American. Wow. Back in 2019, we did some research a few weeks ago. It's like 4% now. So incremental growth, whatever. But when you add those two things together, gaming in the state, black kids play, why are there no black kids playing in the state? So we did some more research and we found the biggest difference right now that separates people of color within the gaming space. Usually most of these things are done on computers. High-end, high-performance, expensive PCs.
Yeah.
Most black people grew up playing on consoles, right?
PS,
Nintendo, Xbox, et cetera. So you had this natural division, essentially the have and the have-nots, simply based on the games that the state decided to play. So when we recognized this, we said, look, if this is going to be happening in Atlanta, we know gaming is growing around North America. Why not start an organization that could really address this problem and bring people of color into this industry, but at the same time, help corporate brands connect with diverse audiences. Mm. So like our first major initiative back in 2020, there are over 300 predominantly white.
When you start your company, 20?
So I'll say it again.
When did you start the company?
So community, I'll give that context. Okay. So initially this whole community ecosystem started January 2020, and I'll break that down very specifically. So our first attempt was specifically helping getting schools and students educated and actually working within gaming. So our first initiative was actually a nonprofit. So our nonprofit's aim was to partner with school systems like Atlanta Public School System, work with corporate partners like Microsoft, and literally teach kids the hard coding skills, career advances, saying like, yo, you can actually work within the space that you care about. Our first major program under community was May 2020. We did a virtual live stream called Tech for COVID. The purpose of Tech for COVID was to actually raise money for schools and students that did not have devices to participate because of social distancing. Mm-hmm. So we said, look, we tapped on Jeezy, we had Offset, we had Dionne Warwick, Michael Strahan, some really big names. We ended up raising a little over $100,000 in 20 hours. And we used that money to literally buy laptops and Wi-Fi devices for kids in Atlanta so they could finish school. Because one thing, I'll just say this real quick, that no one talks about in the pandemic, were the amount of students that did not graduate simply because they did not have a device to finish their homework.
Wow. And I'm sure that's a huge amount of kids.
Dude, it was close to 6 million students in North America that did not go to the next grade level during the pandemic simply due to lack of access.
Wow.
So that was our first initiative under our nonprofit. What ended up happening is a lot of our corporate sponsors that were working with us on our social impact initiatives, they knew me and my business partner, Chris, even before our nonprofit, our kickoff in Atlanta was in 2018. And we had a company where we were doing like unsigned hip hop shows throughout the city. So like get 10 artists, we rent out a bar through music. So people knew us for that. Yeah. We started this nonprofit. So people were asking us like, yo, can we do more with you? Like, can we do virtual concerts? Can we do live events? And we're like, yeah, we can capabilities wise, but under the banner of our nonprofit, that doesn't fit. So let us figure this out. September 2021, now a year later, is when we launched Community Media. So now Community Media specifically is our marketing and advertising arm that manages all of our corporate sponsors, that hosts all of our live events, where we do our talent procurement. And we still have our 501c3 nonprofit that's doing the education. But essentially the way it works now is like a brand will come to us, like a Verizon is like one of our best examples. Verizon's a sponsor of our programs, our gaming leagues, but the Verizon Foundation then donated $1 million to our nonprofit to actually then provide scholarships to students that we were supporting through our live events.
Wow.
So everything we do now is at a point where when I go into a brand, into a conversation, we're trying to have a 360 approach. Like, yeah, I can help you reach your audiences. I can help you sell products. More importantly, I can also tie your brand to community. And here's the students and the people that you'll be impacting during that work.
Wow. That's good. I want to go back to how you getting seven figures from these companies. I want to talk about that shortly. But I'm a couple things just so I'm clear, because this is all new to me, esports. So I'm in 12th grade.
Right.
I play ball. I play baseball. Now there's another room where I go game as esports. Like, I'm meaning I'm playing. What games am I playing?
Yeah, so a lot of the popular titles in esports at large, Madden, NBA 2K, Fortnite, Call of Duty,
Rocket League. So I become a professional gamer. What am I competing for?
Right. So at the high school, college level, you're not professional, right? You're be labeled amateur just like you would in any other sport.
But it's a sport for school that you can participate in.
Correct.
So this after school?
So it's just like, and yeah, so after school, they may have practice, they have matches. So
they're practicing.
They're literally, bro.
Wow.
Think of like what I always tell people.
This is new to me.
And no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going to even get mad at you for it, right? Because I understand, like, for a lot of folks, it's like eye opening, right? Yeah. But think of it literally the same schedule cadence you would if you were on a varsity basketball team. Swap out the actual basketball function for NBA 2K, for Madden and these other titles, and they're putting in that same type of effort. Because at the high school level, there's opportunities to get scholarships to go to college. So Georgia State, Georgia Tech, University of Georgia, these are scholarship funded esports programs at the collegiate level. They do recruiting. So what that means is they're then going back to local high schools in Georgia to figure out like, yo, who are some of these better kids that can then help us win these collegiate championships?
Wow.
The reason why what I'm saying is what we feel like our work is really important is that as this entire new industry was growing, although 83% of Black kids play 2% at the time worked, nobody was participating.
83%, say that part again.
So 83% of Black youth play video games on a weekly basis.
Okay, and you said 2%.
2% of African Americans back in 2019 worked in the video game industry full time.
Now it's 4%.
Now it's 4%. But what we're saying is that's still not enough. 100%. And as you're building out.
When 83% of
are playing.
Playing, yeah.
So especially now, that's just pre- structure, right? Now that there's structure, there's scholarships, there's jobs, there's internships, there's real money on the table. why are people of color not at the table?
Right.
And that's what we're doing in the space of gaming specifically, is making sure that, you know, literally Jackson High, like, you know, Mays High School, who else, some of the bigger APS, like North Atlanta has a really big program, and making sure that they have a seat at the table, essentially.
Wow. Bro, I've never known esports. First, I've just really learned what it is, but I've never known that. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
And so to your point, kind of like to zoom back in for a second about the work that we're doing versus the industry. So that's when we saw like our first initiative in this space. So our claim to fame is that we launched the first official gaming league for HBCUs in North America.
Wow.
So what that means is I went to Oakwood University, HBCU in Huntsville, Alabama. Yeah. My business partner, Chris, went to North Carolina Central. This whole thing really started because we were talking about this in the office. We found four kids from Oakwood. We found four kids from North Carolina Central. And we got them to play head against head in Call of Duty. You know, the kids loved it so much, they told all their friends at other at all the other schools. Yeah. And next thing you know, they're like, yo, why don't we start a league to support these students? So it wasn't up until we did our first matches. We got wind of Twitch and Amazon. They saw some of our content. They're like, yo, we want to support this.
Yeah.
So the way it's structured now is that Community Media owns and operates the HBCU Esports League. Amazon is our largest partner from a distribution and a sponsor standpoint.
Because they basically, what's that, AWS, Amazon Web? Like they house all of this stuff?
No, so it's a little bit different. So Amazon owns Twitch, yeah. Right? So Twitch is where we do all of our live streaming and all of our broadcasting of the content that I'm talking about. So if you think about it, it's more so like the sales team at Twitch represents the likes of our gaming league. And then they're calling Verizon, Discover, Nike, and they're saying, hey, look, y'all spend money with us already on Amazon. Here's another program that you can spend money with to help you all grow your audience across this new vertical being gaming. It also helps you be diverse, and it also helps you connect with HBCU demographics. So essentially we're able to package all of that into a gaming league. So now, dude, I have 40 universities that play in our 22-week long season.
Wow.
Our sponsors this year, we're in the middle of our fourth season right now, we have Verizon, Discover, Nike, Hot Pockets, and Mountain Dew.
What are they playing?
So in our league right now, we play Madden, NBA 2K, Rocket League, Fortnite, Call of Duty, and Mortal Kombat.
Can I own a team?
Nah, because all the teams are schools.
HBCUs.
So like literally, Howard plays Fisk University, Oakwood plays North Carolina Central, Tennessee State plays Texas Southern.
So when I'm playing Madden, am I only one person playing Madden, or is head-to-head one? It's not like, all right, I'm the running back. It's just one stick.
It's the same structure of you playing with your homie on this TV right behind us,
yeah.
Except now you're doing it on behalf of your university. And then there's also a prize pool. So like we just did a big event in December because we have our league, and just like regular sports, we have bowl games. So Discover's our big sponsor. We have this thing called Discover Bowl. Chad Ochocinco is our sponsor, like our partner for the Discover Bowl. That was a $60,000 Madden tournament we just did in December.
Wow. So somebody will win 60 grand.
So the way it works in gaming, it's a pool. So the first place winner may get 40,000, second place may get 15,000, and then third place may get the difference of that.
For playing games.
Wow. So when I'm talking about Mortal Kombat, our biggest scholarship pool to date was with Mountain Dew. 2023, we gave away $1 million.
Wow.
So like I have multiple kids within our league right now that are active students at their colleges that have earned over 100K in the last 2 years playing with us.
Wow. So let me ask you, the same way you're doing this with Ace, can you start it and I get a team?
Yeah, so it's funny.
I want a team.
Yeah, you know,
like, because this is, bro, I'm trying to get into stuff at the bottom. Like, again, I'm sure this been years. Like, I want a pickleball team because it's crazy.
It's
going
to grow.
Now.
It's the trajectory of it.
So to get a pickleball team, maybe a couple million right now, we pull some money together to get it. But we into something that is crazy. It could,
right.
What is pickleball 20 years from now? Esports. What happens if I got a team? Yo, people, I saw on a lot of these billionaires, I look at what they, several of them got esports teams.
They do, because a lot of the esports teams now fall under traditional sports teams.
Yeah,
so like, for an example, like the NBA is the NBA, right? Owned by all these various billionaires. For like 5-6 years ago, they launched the NBA 2K League. So now literally, I think 27 of the 30 NBA teams have professional 2K teams. So like literally there's the Atlanta Hawks, there's this College Park Skyhawks, yeah. and then there's the Hawks Talon, which is the Hawks professional 2K team. Wow. So now, as you can imagine, like the it's literally a rotating. So like the 2K teams with the professional NBA teams are now traveling and playing against each other.
That's crazy.
But to answer your question, the answer is absolutely yes. So HBCU Esports is like our first brand that we created.
Yeah.
Our
created second brand. Another one that I could be a part of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The second brand is called The Kickback. Yeah. So when we do The Kickback, it's a little bit different than the HBCU Esports League. HBCU Esports is all virtual. We do all the live production out of Buckhead. But the kids are competing from their universities. Like they're not traveling in. The Kickback is a full day in-person experience. So what we end up doing, we did it two times so far. We'll do three of them in 2024 leading to 2025. We'll rent out a venue like the Tabernacle or the yeah. Eastern. What we do is we bring in like 1,000 to 1,200 high school and college kids. In the morning, they go through panels and workshops. So people like you, myself,
yeah.
everybody Speak. That was here talking about unique careers, opportunities so the kids can actually hear and receive this information. The middle of the day, we'll do a gaming tournament. And then at night, we'll conclude it with a concert. So like year one, we had Pusha T and G Herbo. We just had NLE Choppa with back in October. Yeah. And then the whole thing is funded by Spotify and Amazon Games.
Wow.
And so like what we do is we build these programs. We understand the needs of our clients, what they're trying to do, the messaging that they're trying to tell. And then we'll package that in a live event that's then supported by content.
Yeah. Let me ask you, when you're getting these sponsors for something like that, how long do you gotta give them a heads up?
Oh, it's process, bro. So like, yeah. and it depends because most major corporations plan on like a 12 to 24 month budget cycle. So if you're talking about getting money in 2024, ideally your plan would have been in front of them at the end of 2022, the latest, the middle of 2023.
So basically I need to plan right now for 2026.
100%. That's what I'm saying. So like, that's why I just said, like, I know for a fact this year, the Kickback is going to bleed into 2025
yeah.
because at the end of 2023, we're selling our 2024 to 2025 programming.
Got it.
And then that's kind of like how you have to structure it to then fit within these cycles. But then even that, it's a bunch of nuances about messaging and getting it selected as a vendor. And there's just like all the minutia that goes into building the relationship to then getting on boarded as a vendor to then be able to even do a deal. So all that being said, though, it's definitely... it's very doable. And one thing I always say is like, people ask me like, Ryan, why don't you post more on social? Like you're doing cool stuff. I always say like, we're a B2B company, right? So like the growth of community isn't tied to like my direct social media following.
100%.
And so like, I've been super intentional to be sure, like even when we do stuff like this, to be as transparent as possible and sharing as much information as we can to help people move their businesses forward, like and those agencies forward. Yeah, bro. Yeah,
bro, just... I ain't gonna lie, you still got me stuck on, I want to get an esports team, bro.
Yeah. So one thing I'll say is this. Is
I like the Kickback, but I think you should do another one that's like that, is like a...
Well, the Kickback has teams. So that's what I'm saying. Like at the Kickback, we have a tournament that's like 5 hours in the middle of the day.
Right,
and wow. that tournament is open to anybody that has a team to participate. Yeah. So that was like our solutions. Like, yo, we have the HBCUs, but like our biggest pain point was like, yo, I'm not an HBCU student. How do I get involved? Yeah. I'm like, damn, I don't got nothing for you.
Well, right but now. I'm thinking something like, when I think the Kickback, I think about chill. I'm thinking about the Gamers Association of like, it's, it becomes the NBA.
Yeah. So like
the NFL of you build that crap and let me just get a team.
Yeah. So it's like, again, that's what, again,
that would
like
be crazy.
So we look at it as like, because of just how gaming happens different than traditional sports, you package everything together from a cost perspective, right? Because yeah. again, it's like when you're doing these large events, you're not just like bringing a basketball to a gym. You know, you're bringing PCs and monitors. Yeah. You're so it's like, it's, you package a lot more into yeah. one event. So to your point, the NBA or the Kickback, the purpose still kind of serves the same. We can bring in teams. Like literally, we had a whole bunch of local Georgia businesses were the teams in our last Kickback event here in yeah. Atlanta. Shout out to Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity. Like they actually ended up winning the championship. That was, wow. So my boys, like yeah. they brought it home. That was exciting. But no, bro, that's exactly it. And so for us, we're really big on just making sure our community knows that these opportunities exist. Because one thing I was told growing up as a young Black man, yo, get off the game. Yo, go outside. My mom came, her first event of us was actually the Kickback in October. She was like, yo, I was wrong.
Wow.
And so she came to the panels and she tells it to this very day. Her takeaway from the Kickback was she listened to one of the game developers talk about like how they get sound for video games, right? And so she heard the story of like, yo, did you know you can go out into the woods or go out into a city and you can capture a noise You can own that noise, and I can sell that to a video game publisher to show up in a game.
Wow.
And that was like her big takeaway. But I was like, exactly. Our community doesn't even believe or know or understand.
You go capture, say that sound.
But I'm just saying, like, that was just an example, yeah, right? But the general thesis is like, yo, in a creative industry, if you're a creative person that has access to creative ideas and then to people that can bring your ideas to life, there's no limit of what you can actually do, was more so the main takeaway. But for her, it was learning that there was a young man or young woman, I can't remember, who made a career out of capturing noises for game developers.
Crazy, bro.
Yo, I've had the privilege to help hundreds and hundreds of people all around the world open up their own profitable event spaces utilizing my signature formula. Number one, how to find the space. Number two, how to fund the space and how to automate the space. I've been in Atlanta, Georgia now living for 2 years. My spaces are still in Philadelphia operating, doing extremely well because we use the same exact formula that I break down, right? If you're interested in learning how we can help you, I want you to go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch a training or book a call with our team to see if you are a good fit. Again, this is for you specifically if you're looking for other ways. Listen to this episode, you probably understand having one source of income is too close to none. And as one of the wealthiest people in the world, Warren Buffett says, if you don't find a way to make money in your sleep, you will work until you die. With that being said, I am finally exposing the industry to this very unique, very secretive way to make money in real estate that no one is talking about. No, I'm not talking about wholesaling. No, I'm not talking about fix and flips. No, I'm not talking about rehabs, right? No, I'm not talking about flipping contracts. I'm talking about event spaces. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and show you for $300. I'm going to waive that $300 fee and give you access to my free masterclass where I'm going to show you how to find your own location. I'm going to show you how to fund your own location. I'm going to show you how to automate this entire process. The same process that I help hundreds and hundreds of people do, I'm now pulling back the curtains. I'm going to help you do the same thing. So what I want you to do right now, go to eventspacemasterclass.com right now. Go ahead and register. And as soon as you're done, go back to the episode. Once again, go to eventspacemasterclass.com. I will see you in our next class. To leverage your money and turn that into other streams of income, right? I don't believe there's a better time than right now for you to get tapped into the information in the game that can help you. So again, go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch the training or book a call with our team to see if you're a good fit for this opportunity. Let's go.
And then the second part I think is really big is every young person plays Fortnite, right? Fortnite, well, the owner of Fortnite, Epic Games, a few months ago, May 2023 at this point, they announced a creator version, right? What that means is that people like me, you, young kids, we can go make our own custom Fortnite levels, and Fortnite will pay you for the amount of playtime that happens on your level. Wow. So think of it for the same model of like an artist that's on Apple Music. Yo, I need to get 100 streams to make $1,000, whatever the math is. Young black kids that are playing Fortnite that are want to get into gaming design, you can build levels, promote those levels to your friends, and Epic Games will literally pay you on a monthly basis for how much or how popular your level is.
Wow.
So imagine a world now where me, you, we build a level, we're marketing it out, we get local favorite Atlanta artists, we get some TikTokers, we're doing paid content. Now your level's generating, bro. I got a friend out in LA. I won't say his name or his company, bro. They're generating $500,000 a month doing this.
Wow. Jeez.
$500,000 a month just on building Fortnite levels and having kids play on them.
That's crazy. Bro, so many opportunities. Like this, I'm oblivious to this world. There's so many. Like, bro, I remember when we were playing games. I'm 36. How old are you?
30.
30. Well, I'm a bit older than you. I remember when we were playing games, bro. It was just a diss, or it was now you got to buy skins, and it's just you don't need a cartridge. They're just printing money. Fortnite, what they make last year? Over a billion,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Billions? And no, just literally, I don't know if you saw this news. Like, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Disney just invested $1.5 billion into Epic Games to build the future of the metaverse. Because as you know, like Travis Scott did the largest concert ever. 12.5 million concurrent people came to his concert in Fortnite. So Disney investing into Epic tells me that this is now going to be the film and TV
play. Travis Scott got it like that?
Bro, it's huge. Because, I mean, when you think about the collaboration and the intersection of Travis Scott's existing fans versus the countless millions of people that play Fortnite, you bring those worlds together in a free game, Bro, like the possibilities of what...
Fortnite is free.
It's a free game.
But they make their money on all the skins.
Microtransactions, usage, it's like, to your point, the model is different.
Yeah, tell me how they make money.
Most of it is microtransactions.
Tell me what that means.
So, hey, I'm going to give you a free game. Another good one is like Call of Duty Warzone, right? Call of Duty is not a free game. Call of Duty Warzone, a free game, right? Call of Duty Warzone, what they'll do, they'll put in 21 Savage. Hey, to get 21 Savage, it costs $20. I got 21 Savage, bro. You know what I'm saying? So they got my money.
Wow.
So like, you times that by the
50. So you're playing with 21 Savage.
Yeah, I'm playing with 21 Savage. I got his voice.
So he licenses himself.
His person, his voice.
And get a portion of all.
They got 21 Savage in the game. They got Nicki Minaj in the game. They got, if you watch Dune, the boy Paul, the main character. So that's what they do. So Fortnite took off with their collaborations. Because think of a game ever where you could be playing as Peter Griffin in the game. You could be Goku from Dragon Ball Z. You could be Rick from Rick and Morty. And like, they're bringing in the elements from these cartoons into the game, turning a game into a live movie that you're playing with your friends.
Jeez.
So like, when we're saying get off the game to these kids, it's like, it's not the same version of get off
when
the game.
When they're telling us.
Yeah, it's like, nah, you're not telling me to get off the game. You're telling me to stop watching my favorite show, to stop talking to my friends.
Yeah.
All at the same time. But I do think, just on that quick topic, bro, there's a huge health concern, right? When you're talking about just like the addiction level, like the amount that these students are playing, I think a healthy dose of that is solved when students know that there's a larger picture than just playing the game.
Yeah, that you can own a piece. You could do levels. You could
own it. You could
the coder or designer. And
you could throw events. You could produce events. You could be a photographer.
Yeah.
Like, you can go down the legal profession and work in the gaming industry.
Yeah.
You could literally be a doctor and work, help people that are dealing with carpal tunnel syndrome, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different avenues that tie back to gaming. I think for us, when we say we're helping kids get into gaming, it's not helping you be a better player. It's not helping you work at Epic Games.
So
it's helping you understand that these skills are transferable across multiple industries, but you can turn your passion into a profession.
So this all makes sense now. We were playing ball the other day. You know, we ball at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
We was like, yo, what y'all doing today? Well, I'm about to go home and I'm about to play Warzone for a couple hours, then I'm gonna go to work. That's almost like you working. You're actually benefiting from playing games because you own a gaming company.
Yeah, I was just telling your friend that was Devin that was over here. Like, we just did our first in-game activation. So literally right now, I just built an in-game level for Hot Pockets in Fortnite.
Wow.
So like, now, because Hot Pockets is one of our big partners, they're like, yo, we want to do a cool event. So we're literally running an $100,000 Fortnite tournament on Hot Pockets level that we made that we'll continue to promote after the tournament is even over. And so like, these are the ways that when we're going to these brands that are asking us like, yo, what's new, what's innovative, how do we connect with young people, how we stay diverse, we're like, take your pick.
Yeah.
Like,
what option you want?
What option you want? Hey, it's even better if you want it all together.
How much it cost me to create my own level or something?
It depends on how.
And do you got to have influence in game? Like, I don't know nothing.
Yeah, no. So I mean, it's
but Hot Pockets don't got influence in game. They just want branding of Hot Pockets
and
throughout
then they work
this level,
with a
right?
partner to amplify the gaming perspective. They'll get the brand recognition. Hopefully, you know, more people then start eating Hot Pockets as their, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, then becomes like a whole thing. But to build a level, it depends, right? Like, on the complexity of the level, the game that you're playing. Because that's another thing, bro. Like, when you're doing Fortnite creative, you're not playing. You can make whatever you want. So, like, there's NBA 2K versions of Fortnite in Fortnite creative. Where, like, and so, like, it could run you low-end 50, high-end half a million.
Yeah.
Right? Just depending on the complexity.
When
so,
you
like,
say a level, give me, so, example, like, level 4. Like, you just, it's just a whole new... I don't understand. Like, when you say a level, like, just say, all right, round 1, round 2, I'm on round 4 of this.
So like, think of, like, in, you play, like, Call of Duty or, like, any, you play, like, any games recently?
I don't play nothing.
That's all good, bro. So, like, think of, like, a level, like, say this house is a level, right? And say next door is an empty lot.
Yeah.
I could build whatever I wanted on that lot and we could play in it.
Got it.
So, my house could be flat. My house could be 5 stories.
Hot Pockets own that forever?
So Hot Pockets is just the brand,
right?
The developers are the owners. So like, that's the beautiful thing. Like, brands aren't trying to get into ownership of levels, right? They're trying to get brand awareness extracted from the levels.
What should I do for me?
should come talk to us. We could build a level. That's what I was saying, bro.
That's
like,
where I'm at.
But here's a real play. Like, we could come together. Hey, we could figure out the financing. We could build a level. We could tap into however many influencers we want to tap into promote it. We could run it and promote it through literally all the high school leagues in Georgia, the collegiate leagues in Georgia.
Yeah, I need all
so
that.
And so, so on and so forth. This. And the beautiful thing is, like, you make it in a fact. Because, again, I'll just say this. I always remind myself, like, has to connect back to community. It has to be impactful.
100%.
So one thing is,
you know, I'm all about community.
And I know I learned about you when you talked about the nonprofit work that you're doing. It's like, how do we then give percentage of the revenue to like nonprofit. APS so they can keep building out their game? Because again, a big thing for us is not to do everything. My goal is actually to do less. Yeah. So we're trying to put money in the community so they can, we're trying to train the trainer. Because on a completely separate side note, the biggest crisis I think that's happening right now in our country is that there are not enough educators that know enough about computer science to teach the next level of skilling to the kids that are coming up. If you actually just think about that for a second, it's extremely concerning. So a big part of what we do is train the trainer.
Yeah.
So how do we help you? So now I don't got to build all the levels. Now you can go back to Philadelphia, right?
Yep.
You can go back to Philly and you can teach all the nonprofits and all the kids the same thing that we're talking about.
Wow.
So that's like the whole kind of concept behind that.
Yeah. Bro, this is deep. The game, I never knew it goes, like one of my good friends, he played Call of Duty all day. Like he used to, got what level he on. Like he's like top
there.
Few hundred in the world or something. I'm like, bro, you need to start getting paid for this or something. Get in the league or something.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
jeez, just the artists. Like, more artists should do that. Like, bro, what Travis Scott did.
Bro, artists are doing it. And the thing is, again, when you look at what gaming is tech. In order to do what Travis Scott did, you either have to have a team or resources around you that can build it. When you look at a lot of traditional artists or even traditional athletes, we don't come from these circles that understand high-end production, that understand how to build a business program that leads to ROI for the people that you're asking money from. Yeah. So that's where, bro, like in the last year, from a music standpoint, we've worked with, or the last couple years, we've worked with the likes of NLE Choppa, Pusha T, G Herbo,
Jeezy.
We've done, athlete-wise, Cam Newton. We just did a big program with Cam Newton, Ocho Cinco. Mm-hmm. And these are the reasons. It's like, yo, we're making these strides. How do we do more? Because we don't come from these spaces. So any artist, athlete you go to and talk to them about gaming is an 80% chance that they do it and they want to grow. Their question comes, I don't know how. And I think that is the big opportunity right now of like education and creating these opportunities and then bringing those opportunities to corporate sponsors to say like, here's why these programs will be successful.
Wow. I feel like I'm about to get on the beginning of something great.
I know, bro, that's good. And there's a lot of dope people that are doing it, a lot of dope people that are doing it in Atlanta, around the whole country.
But I'm happy you broke it down because I just wasn't really, I don't fully understand it all, so I'm happy I can understand it. I'm happy I'm going to own me a team. I'm going to get me a level. How long it take to build a level generally?
Bruh, if you're doing it with intention, 60, 90 days.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about hard coding, like testing it out, making sure it works, the whole—
All the branding throughout
all the level. Branding. Like, you're making everything. So, like, literally, when you appear in the level, like, you're coding the spawn points of where you show up after you die. So like it's very, very technical and nuanced, but it's all very doable if the right people come together and have the right plan. But yeah, bro, that's why when we talk about gaming,
60 to 90 days, you said 50K to up to a million?
It just depends on
how deep you
how deep you want to go in it, bro.
So let me ask you, just so I understand, I don't know if you could, but just say Hot Pockets is sponsoring, but they still got to pay to get the level done, right?
Well, that's a part of the sponsorship.
Part of the sponsorship, okay.
So, like, imagine—
I thought you were saying they're going to give away 100,000 to us.
Exactly. Okay. So, like, imagine what I'm saying is instead of now renting out State Farm Arena for 50 to 100,000, we're building Fortnite levels.
Yeah.
And to your point, we then also have within that kind of, like, pool of money for the students. So that way, hey, we're building level, but the kids participating are still walking away with what they need to walk away with.
How does somebody know this new Fortnite level exists?
Promotion. So that's where traditional social media.
So go watch me on my go. How do I get to the level though? Like what
they have?
Because I never saw a Fortnite. You know, I don't right. even know.
It's what code. It so like when you go in, like it's like a custom map code. So like,
so I'm gonna go enter the game. Doo-doo-doo. I'm in Fortnite. Enter this code. It'll take me to that level.
Take you right into it.
So it's like when I see, I be seeing celebrities or people post up my gamer name almost.
Yeah, so but like
instead of that, it's a code.
And then you would type that code in where it says enter code for custom whatever, whatever.
You know what age most people are playing Fortnite?
High school.
High school.
It's a high school, it's a high school college game. That's why I was like, it's a youth marketing haven.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
Youth marketing haven. So
what's for babies though? What are babies though that babies would tap in?
You talking about baby? Like honestly, bro, I think the youngest I hear about young kids playing games and like understanding what they're doing is like 4, 5, 6-ish, right? Yeah. So I mean, they're doing like your Fortnites. Like my nephew up in my cousin Kev, his young son, bro. He's real big right now on PS5. He's like 5, 6 years old. So he's doing this game called Sackboy, okay. which is like a little adventure game, like yeah. a little sack running around a room, just like yeah. exploring and stuff.
You playing on the PC, I would assume?
Nah, I be playing on Xbox, bro. Oh, I personally don't like PC gaming because okay. when you play on PC, you got to update the computer.
The computer's like, my man tried to drop like $7,500 on his computer.
It's expensive. And that's yeah. why, you know, we don't play them growing up, right? We yeah. get the little console, $300, yeah.
$400. I didn't know. So growing up, there were gaming computers? I thought it was only PS5.
Literally, bro. So like, exactly.
I never knew that.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying.
I thought there's something, they just created gaming computers just recently.
Nah, bro. And that's what I'm saying. It's like.
We so we, far behind.
It's crazy.
It's hard to catch up, bro, when you're so far behind. Like you also don't know what you don't know. I'm not in that world. Right. If I was in that world, I may learn, but.
But no, to your point, that's what we're doing. We're trying to be the microphone. We're trying to be the spotlight to say, yeah. yo, black people, y'all playing these games. Yeah. Let's just go further.
Yeah.
Let's be a little bit more intentional. So it's been a journey, man. Like to your point, we got the team to 20 folks. We're all based right in the perimeter area here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of cool things coming up. Like where this has taken me, I would have had no idea, bro. Like, we just got selected. So March 14th through 17th, we're backstage doing all the gaming activations at Rolling Loud. Like, and so to your point, we'll do all the.
That's going to be fire, too.
So like artists go on stage, come off stage. They'll stop in our spot. They'll do gaming. If you're familiar with Wayno and Duke Deuce. So Wayno, big A&R within the space. He's like EVP of A&R at QC. Duke Deuce, Crunk Ain't Dead. I don't know if you've seen that like on TikTok.
It's not familiar.
But nonetheless, they have this really dope podcast we just launched for them. So Wayno being who he is, they'll be doing all the art. Wayno and Duke will be doing artist interviews at Rolling Loud. They'll be gaming and talking about their story. It's because fire. Two things. One, once rappers and who we deem as like the coolest figures in our community start talking about it, one, the message becomes very clear.
Yeah.
Two, it's just an opportunity for them to show a side of them that they usually don't get to show. Right now, the most vocal person is probably T Grizzly. So T Grizzly, he's been on EYL. He's been on Breakfast Club talking about he's making more money. And T-Pain as well. They're making more money a month ever streaming on Twitch than they ever did in their music careers.
And I want to ask you about, I was just about to ask you, how does Twitch work, bro? You say Amazon owns Twitch.
Yeah, Amazon.
How much they buy that for?
They bought it for like $1 billion back in 2015.
Damn. And that probably cost a few hundred thousand to make back in the day. I mean, right. who some young kids made it?
Yeah, some young kids out of Sanford. Yeah. Like so traditional startup story, kids like, hey, people want to watch people's lives. Let's start the streaming platform. It used to be called Justin TV.
Okay.
Then it was called Twitch. Amazon got
Twitch, that's where Kai Snipe be at, right? Yep. And we have, what, hundreds of thousands of people.
You know what's crazy? It's like, again, we don't talk about this. A black man is the most followed person on Twitch.
That's Kai, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How did he build to that point?
It's the same way we build anything. Like, it's the same way that our culture
builds everything.
Everything, yeah. right? When you put a black, like it literally he, and it's crazy because they didn't want it to be true, but it just became undeniable. Yeah. But I was like,
shut them down one day.
Yeah. Like even when we talk about this industry that we say like none of us are familiar with, a black man is at the top. Why are we not supporting him? Why are we not having, but no, he's in all these other, because other people, again, we're behind the curve already. Other people know his value, right? So even if you look at most recently, Kai's management updated. Right. So now Kai's managed by the same firm that has Mr. Beast. Do you know how big that is?
Yeah. Huge.
To be under the same brand as the most followed person on YouTube, yeah. and you're a 21, 20, 22 year old, 20, maybe three black man. Like, yeah. bro, that's like far-fetched stuff.
100%.
So I'm like, so how do we, and if you notice, even a few months ago, how the record labels were leveraging Kai the same way they used to leverage the Breakfast Club to break an artist's album about to drop. So G Herbo go on, album come out. Nicki Minaj go on, album come out. Because he was the voice for youth culture.
Yeah. We was trying to book him for an event.
It's hard.
Yeah, it was. I tried my best.
And what's crazy
is, DDG. So DDG asked him for me, and yeah, I tried.
You know what's crazy is, like, his value is significantly higher than most traditional artists.
100%.
Because of how he's able to directly tell in a live format 300,000 people.
Bro, I just screenshotted the other day, bro. I study this stuff for, you know, what I do. Yeah. I'm like, and actually my phone broke. It's a brand new phone, so it's probably, bro, he had like within 60 seconds, 82,000 people on Instagram Live.
Exactly.
How powerful that is. Like, you can direct people to buy not anything, but you can.
Yeah, it's influence.
10% of them will go buy what he's suggesting.
Exactly.
Live.
So that's why I'm like, this whole tool of being able to be present all the time, be able direct to consumer, is all through the lens. So when I say gaming, I don't really be talking about esports, right, as much. I think esports is a, because when you talk about it, like, take a step back, gaming, $200 billion industry.
Yeah.
Esports is like a $1 billion piece of the larger gaming industry.
Wow.
Esports by definition is just the competitive version of gaming.
Yeah.
Everything else is the industry, and we focus on the industry, but we do have stuff that is also focused towards specifically esports. So, I mean, that's why we're like, bro, big for us is entertainment. So Rolling Loud for us is going to be a big opportunity, getting all these artists to talk about, like, yo, that's cool, because I think as the black community, we're facing kind of like two demons right now, right? One, there's already the lack of access to capital, resource, information, like we're talking about. But also, you're lame as hell in the black community if you're into computers, into video games, into anime.
Yeah.
So how do you help a young black kid in Atlanta that loves gaming, that loves Naruto, but his community around him is telling him that he can't talk about these things?
Yeah.
How do you grow in that type of scenario? So we go to the same people that told us that the other stuff was cool.
Yeah.
That you got to have these sneakers, you got to shop at that mall, you got to go to this store. Those are the same voices that got to help those same people unlearn the habits that they already had.
Facts. Wow. Hey, bro, this is it, bro. This is fire. Thank you for Gaming 101, Ryan. Let everybody know how to connect with you, bro, and how to tap in with you, brother.
Nah, for sure. Now, again, appreciate you for having me, man. Y'all can follow me on social. My social across the board is Ryan Ran It Up. Literally, as it sound, RyanRanitup. And then please follow Community on all social platforms, CXMMUNITY. And let me just say that real quick.
That's fire, too. So, that's just the Instagram, just Community, one word?
If you type in Community, like, it'll pop up. It's .co, because somebody got my thing. I'm working on that right now. But let me say this. The reason why we actually use the X is, as I told you in the very beginning, the biggest difference of the have and have nots is essentially, right, in this conversation, PC versus console.
Yeah.
The only thing that's consistent across all those is an X, keyboard X, PlayStation, Nintendo, and an Xbox.
Mm.
So our whole message of Community is unifying the entire space versus operating in the silos that it exists now. So no, I definitely appreciate opportunity, bro.
Here, bro. This is dope. Fire. Yeah. Thank you for educating me, y'all. So man, make sure y'all go ahead and tap in with my guy, Ryan. When y'all see me next time owning the sports team, building the level, is because of him and Community. Yeah. So we'll see y'all on the next show.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I hope you're getting extreme amount of value. I want you to go ahead and comment below, share with me your biggest takeaway. In addition to that, my number one goal is for me to be able to grow all of my social platforms so I can give you info, insight, strategy, and gain from every platform there is. So take a minute to follow me on Instagram at Neil DeViso, same exact name on Twitter, same exact name on TikTok, and follow me on LinkedIn at Nehemiah Davis. I would love for you to be able to be tuned into my articles and everything that I drop relating to helping you get to that next level in your life. Tune in.